scientific opinions through dialogue. The Islamic States, the Muslims of Russia, all of us must stand together against the liberalism that they are trying to impose on us. This false world view is in fact engaged in the seizure of the world's material wealth and assets. Our joint cooperation should be directed against this upstart arrogance, despotism, and oppression of the liberal world. The Islamic principles of the worldview are the values that the world could take as an example.
Back in 1881, the Russian Muslim thinker and educator Ismail Bey Gasprinsky wrote that in the near future, quote, Russia will be destined to become one of the significant Muslim states, which will not in the least diminish its significance as a great Christian power. The participants of the forum are convinced that his dream is coming true today. Russian Muslims, hand in hand with their partners, are making a unique contribution to renewing the global discourse on justice. The rapprochement of the Islamic world with Russia and success in this matter is directly related to the openness of the Russian civilization to its Eastern heritage, including the spiritual tradition of Russian Muslims.
We are being imposed a globalist, neoliberal understanding of the modern world order. The imposition is very aggressive. They encroached on a family. Many have caved into these patterns of the new world order. The Islamic world, which reads the Quran and is charged with energy and the word of the Quran, is trying to resist and adjoin those centers that are able to challenge and protect humanity from destructive energy. Russia is the defender of the classical traditional order set forth in the sacred scriptures. Therefore, one must follow this path, not lose hope, not give up, because this is a Quranic instruction to unite and be a single organism, a single ummah.
The participants of the forum believe that the time has come to talk about a just world order not only from the standpoint of the West, but also from the East.
Russia is celebrating the 1,100th anniversary of the adoption of Islam by the people of Volga, Bulgaria, marking the importance of Islam in the country. This year is commemorated with the participation of representatives from dozens of Muslim countries during various events. The anniversary is also an opportunity for Russia to strengthen its ties with participating Muslim countries that have been isolated by the West. Marina Kartunova, Moscow.
Kubashevsky District, Donetsk. A child is wounded by Ukrainian shelling. An ambulance took her to the hospital. But a second didn't arrive fast enough, so a local volunteer, Andrei, puts the child's mother in the back of his van and drives her there himself. Ukraine has a history of shelling civilians in Donetsk since 2014. Over recent days, they've increased the slaughter. More than a dozen have been killed in the last 4 days. Nowhere in the city is safe. Two supermarkets were hit in the space of 2 days.
The city has been hit hard today, multiple strikes around the center. The death toll is already up to 5. We're racing around the city to check out the damage.
We pass a market. It caught on fire due to a strike. Flowers are placed outside for a woman killed at the same spot a few weeks ago. We arrive at the site of another strike. There's a body on the ground and two more inside.
Now, while many of the attacks by Ukraine in Donetsk are aimed at civil infrastructure or administration buildings, some are simple terror attacks against civilians. The building here is a youth center. The woman who was killed is still lying just down there, covered in a blanket.
The woman was later identified as Maria Pirogova, a young deputy of the DPR authorities. Another killed was Vadim Lobozov, a singer in a music band.
Now, I've tried to talk to a couple of people at the scene here, but they didn't want to. They're simply too traumatized to speak. One man breaking down in tears by the side of the road. And frankly, my fixer, my translator, is very keen for us to get out of here because at any moment, these strikes can happen again. Right across the city, they've been happening today. And no doubt there'll be more anytime soon.
Andrei, the volunteer who took the mother to the hospital in Kubayevsky.
They shell the center of Donetsk on purpose, to scare people, to create an unstable zone in the city, so that people will complain, to provoke. To me, they're not warriors who fight with other warriors. They fight civilians, so I think they do not deserve to be called military. They should be classified as war criminals by a military court.
While Russia launches major attacks on energy infrastructure, in a shockingly underreported story, Ukraine is launching attacks on civilians, whom it claims to be its own citizens. Few people are on the streets today, as more strikes are expected. Johnny Milip, Donetsk.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm your host, Zainab, and today in our studio, we have with us Islamic researcher and educationalist, Dr. Ali Alavi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much for inviting me to your show.
We have been discussing about self-confidence, mm-hmm. and we discussed a lot about it. And now I would want to know about some signs that tell us a child has lowered self-confidence. Mm-hmm. Because we talked about the signs which show us that your child has good self-confidence. Now I want you to tell us the signs that show your child has lowered self-confidence.
Definitely. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. I just want to remind the respected listeners about the signs of kids or children who have a good self-confidence, and they are known as self-confident people. They are, as we said earlier, they are independent in their actions and activities, and also they act maturely in their actions. They are honored of, and they are proud of whatever they are doing, and actually they talk about their outcomes and, let's say, consequences very openly. And they accept the failure that they have. If you remember, we said that these are the signs that it shows that our kid is self-confident. And he responsively accepts his failures. The next is that he has the courage of entering in new arenas and challenges, and accepts the risks of any challenge. And then the next was that in some occasions, he has this ability and capability to help others.
Yeah.
So these signs show that our kid is self-confident. So definitely there must be something in the other side. That is, what is in opposite.
Yeah.
So what are the signs that tells us, okay, that this kid and this girl, this son of us, is poor in self-confidence?
Yeah.
So the first thing that I can refer to is that unlike the other one, that he actually welcomes all risks and challenges, he doesn't welcome any challenges and
any
new opportunities.
Yeah.
You see? This child actually feels that no one loves him and actually no one wants him. Do you remember, I think,
feeling
one of the discussions?
Insecurity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Feeling of insecurity that we had it earlier, that we said that these are the reasons that actually he understands that he is not being loved anymore by somebody.
All right.
Look, sometimes a word of mother or father that I hate you, it's very easy to be uttered, but it has a bad effect on the personality of the kid.
All right.
Look, this kid cannot digest it, at least at that time, though they are too smart, but they think that everything is direct and there is no lie in between. See, or there is at least no pretension, or there is no conspiracy that we parents usually have. So when you tell them that I hate you, he really takes it for himself or herself.
He thinks you really hate him.
Definitely. So when you tell them that they feel that no one loves them anymore or wants them, the next, so if you have seen a kid with this circumstance that he thinks that no one is loving him,
mm-hmm.
or her, it means that his self-confidence has been damaged somewhere. We have to try to treat and cure it.
Yeah. So we will discuss more signs after a short break. Dear listeners,
sure.
Stay tuned with us.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm with Dr. Ali Alavi, and we are talking about self-confidence. Dr. Alavi, you have been helping us to know about the signs that show that our children have got lowered self-confidence.
We have been talking about two or three signs of those who lack self-confidence. One is that they are not welcoming any opportunities or challenges. Second, they think that no one loves them and wants them. Third, is the time to say that they try to blame others for their own mistakes. You see? So we said that in the opposite side, those who have enough self-confidence, they actually accept their failures really responsibly. But this subject, we see that they try to actually blame others for their own mistakes, and they are not going to accept their failures. The next factor or the next element that tells us that this kid or this subject is afflicted with a lack of self-confidence is that they are unable to cope with normal levels or with any issue very smoothly. So they find everything quite difficult. In order to, for example, in case you ask them to do something, they might count too many problems and too many difficulties on the way to perform it.
Okay.
So it seems that, okay, he is actually, he feels that he is not the person to cope with this problem.
He feels like, you'll feel with his statements, he knows he's not capable of, or mm-hmm. he at has least, this feeling of his capability.
At least, yeah, it has been... he tries to persuade himself that he is not capable of doing it, mm-hmm. though he has this capability to perform it. And it has some, actually, treatment in order to tell them that, no, you are capable enough to perform, to act, and to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So even with some simple word, we can actually revive this sense of capability in the subject. The next sign that actually we can find in such subjects is that they have a sort of, let's say, a negative self-talk about their own selves. If you remember, we said in the factors that leads to the weakening the self-confidence, we said that when they are compared with others.
Yeah.
You see, now they have heard too much comparison, and now they just say, okay, I'm not the one that can do it. You see, I'm not suitable for this case. They say lots of negative
self-talk.
They
fail before making any efforts.
Definitely. They find, there's failure from the very beginning, you see? So what's the reason? The reason is due to that bad comparisons that have been made earlier. Mm-hmm. And even with the same case that you actually referred to, the question of the person or the brother or sister who sent the question to this show.
Yeah.
Such a person always is in fear of a failure, or he or she is always in the fear or embarrassment
mm-hmm.
of an action that might come to him or her.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, again, if you see that your kid or child is not able to make a good friendship with others, it means that there is something wrong there. So what's wrong? Because, kids in this age, or let's say in the ages that we are talking about, let's say the ages of 9 and 10 and over, they have to naturally have this power to find good friends.
Yeah.
But we see that they are not able to make it. It means that there is something wrong with them because they feel humiliated and they feel that no one, they deserve to be the friend of no one.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's the problem that they are always with. The next element or the next sign that we can see in this series or in this subject is that their interest and motivation for doing everything is lower than the kids in the same age. For example, if you define a very good, let's say, occasion or even event for them, that is usually loved by kids of the same age,
yeah,
it seems that they are not that interested to go. They prefer to stay at home and actually do nothing.
Make excuses
not to attend that events.
Well, we'll discuss more on that after a short break, dear listeners. Stay tuned with us.
The Prophet wasallam said, "Honor your children and teach them good manners."
Welcome back. You're listening to The Islamic Upbringing. I'm with Dr. Ali Alavi, and we're talking about self-confidence. Dr. Alavi is helping us to know about the signs that show that your child has a lower self-confidence. Yes, Dr. Alavi.
Yeah. The next sign that we can find in the kids or children of, in some kids or children who are, let's say, afflicted with low self-confidence is that they try not to accept the definitions or, let's say, descriptions that are being done about themselves, about them. For example, if their mother or father actually describe them in a good way, they try not to accept it and they say these are quite nonsense because I know that I'm not that, let's say, talented and they are just going to make me happy, they say these things. So it means that it has been ruined from somewhere, this ability has been destroyed somewhere, and I don't know whether from the parents or the guardians or the teachers at school or anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But this time he cannot accept himself a good, let's say.
All your praises are in vain, the praises you're making about your child.
He or she thinks that he or she does not deserve these kind of praises and definitions or lesser descriptions that are being made.
Or maybe he feels like they're lying.
Yeah, they're lying for him, yeah, definitely. And usually, for some, that, for example, human beings usually, I mean, we also as human beings, usually got happy when we are praised, you see.
Yeah.
Though it's also a good another illness that has to be cured in its own place.
Well, I'm a female, and I know we have this illness very, very deeply.
Yeah. So it is good to some extent.
You said with the emphasis.
No, I didn't mean that. Being praised is not something that usually people get happy when they are praised, right?
Yeah.
But we have to be careful. Always this sense of being praised, in case everything actually exceeds its borders and limits, it would be problems.
Are you trying to say that praise is good, but when praise becomes flattering, it is problematic?
Problematic, and it will cause problems. But these actually group of subjects, they are usually reject such praises, and mm-hmm. they think that whatever has been said or told about them are not real, and they feel a sort of anxiety and let's say stress when they are praised. So they try to reject and not accept all these praises about themselves. But one more point and finalizing my discussion. Inshallah, we shall move to the ways in to strengthen this self-confidence in our kids in our upcoming session.
Actually, waiting for that.
Yeah. We want to tell the respected parents and the respected audience of this show that self-confidence does not happen overnight and cannot be revived again overnight.
Wow.
Yeah, so it means that a series of events had happened already that led to lack of self-confidence in one.
Mm-hmm.
And series of other actions have happened by some, let's say, thinkers that led to the, a good self-confidence of the other.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be careful in order to, we first need to know what elements actually lead us towards this and what elements lead us toward that.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the issues that we have to know as parents and audience, as parents and the guardians of our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Inshallah, in our upcoming session, we shall focus on some methods and ways in order to strengthen their self-confidence.
Thank you, Dr. Alavi, for being with us with such great information. Dear listeners, we so far talked about the self-confidence in children. What are the signs that show highest level of self-confidence? What are the signs that show lowered self-confidence? And now we'll be moving towards the ways to strengthen and to boost this self-confidence, which is very, very necessary. So stay tuned with us until another session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, following the prophets. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of following prophets in the Islamic lifestyle. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said 124,000 prophets and messengers for our guidance, and this is one of the greatest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when He has created us, He sent someone for our guidance, so He did not left us on our own to find the guidance, to find the path of perfection. Therefore, it is necessary to follow the footsteps of the prophets. And if we want to have an Islamic lifestyle, it is necessary to read the Quran, get the guidance from the Quran, and to know about the prophets. Therefore, it is necessary to read the life of the prophets. For example, when we read the story of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, that how he lived his life, we see that in his story, when the storm was coming, his son was drowning and he wanted to save his son. So he said to his son, "Grab my arm, so I will pick you up, I will pull you." But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he refused to accept the help, and he said, "I will go to that hill, on top of that hill, and I will save myself from this flood." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped Nuh alayhi salam, that do not pray for your son. He is not from you, he is not from your ahl. That when we say ahl means that from your family members. We know that he was the son of Nuh alayhi salam. But how Allah said that he is not from your family? Now the reason is, the answer is in the Quran. The Quran says that all the believers, do not make those who love the non-believers who are against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your companions, your guardians. And Allah has stopped us. Because the son of Nuh was one of the munafiqeen, one of the hypocrites, and he never believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore Allah said, oh no, he is not from your family. Therefore leave him and let him drown. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of following prophets in the Islamic lifestyle. We were giving the example of the Nuh alayhi salam, and we said that his son was drowned. Allah said, oh, the prophet Nuh, let him drown because he's not from your ahl. And the reason is that whoever becomes the enemy of Allah, who loves the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then obviously he is not from the believers. Which means that if we are different in belief, if we don't believe the way the prophets do believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will not be considered from those who are from the ahl of that. For example, we see at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Salman was known as Ahlul Bayt, Minna Ahlul Bayt, from us Ahlul Bayt. Why he was known from the households of the Prophet? It's because he was in line with the beliefs that the Prophet had. So he was following the footsteps of the Prophet. So the story of the Prophet Nuh tells us that if you want to have a real Islamic lifestyle, you need to make your beliefs right. You need to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way the prophets does, the way the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to believe. He used to believe in one God. And he was not following the footsteps of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, in verse number 23 of chapter 9, which is chapter Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا آبَاءَكُمْ وَإِخْوَانَكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ. All those who believe, do not take your fathers and brothers as your guardian, as your friends. إِنْ إِسْتَحَبُّوا الْكُفْرَ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ. If they love the disbelieving upon the believing. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ. And whoever makes them their guardian, their friend, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. So they are from the oppressors, from the wrongdoers. So we need to save ourselves. The point in the story of Nuh is that the son of Nuh used to love someone. He had the friends, close friends who he used to follow, the one who were the kafirin, the one who were kafirin, and he used to prefer the kufr upon iman. Now this is a lesson for every single of us. Everyone, either they're living in the east or the west. If we love something which is kufr, and we prefer that over the iman, then obviously we are coming under the same category. Then we are not from the true believers or the Muslims. But if we want to have a right Islamic lifestyle, we need to make the verse 23 of chapter 9, we need to make it something which we need to follow. And this should be the goal, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
in the limelight.
The United States of America, or as what the publication Economist has described, that this United States of America is on the path to decline. This is what experts have acknowledged and had warned years before. From its broken economy to its political division and decadent culture, there is no glimpse of hope for the U.S. to be recovered. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. Guardian, in an article, noted the United States is a textbook example of a country headed towards civil war. The trends increasingly point one way, while nobody knows the future, little, if anything, is being done by anyone to try to prevent the collapse of the republic. Belief in democracy is ebbing. The legitimacy of institutions is declining. America increasingly is entering a state where its citizens don't want to belong to the same country. These are conditions ripe for political violence. No civil war ever has a single cause. It's always a multitude of factors that lead to decline and collapse. The current U.S. has several of what the CIA calls threat multipliers. Environmental crises continue to batter the country. Economic inequality is at the highest level since the founding of the country. And demographic change means that the U.S. will be a minority white country within just over two decades. All of these factors tend to contribute to civil unrest wherever they are found in the world. But the U.S. is more vulnerable to political violence than any other countries because of the discrepancies of institutions. For 40 years, trust in institutions of all kinds, the church, the police, journalism, academia, has been in free fall. Trust in politicians can hardly fall any lower. And there is no reason for trust. The Constitution, while unquestionably a work of genius, was a work of 18th century genius. It simply does not reflect, nor can it respond to, the realities of the 21st century. The divide between the American political system and any reflection of the popular will is widening, and increasingly it cannot be ignored. The electoral college system means that in the near term, a Democrat will win the popular mandate by many millions of votes and still lose the presidency. The crisis of democracy will only grow. With around 345 election deniers on the ballot as candidates in November, the Republicans appear to have evolved a new political strategy, seemingly based on the gambling strategy of Joe Pesci's character in Casino. If they win, they collect. The American electoral system is already hugely localized, outdated, and held together by good faith. Any failure to recognize electoral outcomes, even in a few states, should result in a contested election in which nobody reaches the threshold of 270 electoral college votes. In that case, the Constitution stipulates a contingent election. And acclimatize yourself to this phrase now, in which each state gets a single vote. That's right. If no candidate in an American presidential election reaches the threshold of 270 electoral college votes, the House delegations from individual states, overwhelmingly dominated by Republicans, pick the president, with each state having one vote. In 1824, the candidate who won the popular vote and the most electoral college votes, Andrew Jackson, did not become president. John Quincy Adams forged his way through. A contingent election is one mechanism, just one, by which an American government could be perfectly constitutional and completely undemocratic at the same time. The right has been preparing for exactly such a reality for a while, with a phrase they repeat as if in hope that it will mean something if they say it enough. We are a republic, not a democracy. Quasi-legitimacy is what leads to violence, and America's political institutions are destined to become more and more quasi-legitimate from now on. One of the surest markers of incipient civil war in other countries is the legal system devolving from a nonpartisan, truly national institution to a spoil-off partisan war. That has already happened in the U.S. America is rushing headlong into another civil war, and it's a matter of when, not if. As political scientist Professor Barbara F. Walker argues, civil wars are likely in the presence of two factors, autocracy and ethnic factionalism. When one considers the centrality of race to American politics, it is clear that ethno-nationalism is hastening the movement towards autocracy. Think about the role of race in the first civil war and the one we are headed towards. It's well documented that the repulsive nature of the institution of slavery was the principal cause of the civil war, driven by moral as well as economic and political concerns. In the 19th century America, the Democratic Party was a relatively reactionary institution in the South, whereas the Republican Party was a relatively progressive institution located in the North. Republicans supported the abolition of slavery, whereas the 19th century Democrats were all for it. Regardless of the outcome of the war, driven as it was by the prospect of material gain or loss, moral redemption or immorality, the war came to rest on the fulcrum of race and racism. Throughout history, political identity in the U.S. has ultimately been driven by the party's respective positions on race, with divisions sorting primarily by the way of racial identity and racial attitudes. Contemporary Republicans, for instance, tend to be white and relatively racist. Democrats are more likely to draw from a more diverse pool and, as such, are typically less racist. To illustrate this point, Republicans are far more alarmed by a diversifying country. Likewise, white people were and are more likely to support Trump, driven by the anxiety associated with the rapid racial diversification of their country. What, you may ask, do white people and the Republican Party have in common? Well, 80% of Republican voters are white. The consequences of the centrality of race and racism to American politics and the threat of internal war are dire. It was racism that was ultimately responsible for the rise of the Tea Party. A reaction to Obama's racialized presidency, the Tea Party, now the MAGA movement, in turn moved the GOP to the right, eventually setting the stage for Trump. With Trump pushing the big lie that the 2020 election was stolen and many Republicans buying it into, the stage is set for another American war of all against all. They have seen this before. The civil war, as it happens, was set in motion by the refusal of the Democrats to accept Abraham Lincoln as the legitimate winner of the 1860 contest given his views on slavery. He thought it's morally wrong. But it wasn't the economics of slavery that motivated the South's insistence on maintaining what was known as the peculiar institution. Only 3.2% of white Southern families owned slaves. Clearly, then, the maintenance of slavery as an economic institution carried no value for almost all white Southerners. With economic reasons absent, why were white Southerners willing to fight a war over slavery? The Southern way of life, white supremacy. As part of Southern culture, these people were not ready for forfeit their social dominance relative to the black community. these conditions remain in place as many white people, Republicans, confront the fear that by 2044, they will no longer be in the ethnic majority, they feel the need to take drastic measures to maintain white supremacy. It's all they have ever known. It happened in 1860s. What's to prevent it from happening now? Look for the next civil war to take place after the 2024 election cycle, when the next wave of violence is likely to emerge. Similar to the original civil war, there's too much at stake for both sides. Then, as now, the threats are existential. In the 19th century, Democrats viewed the newly established Republican Party as a threat to their way of life. Republicans, for their part, saw Southern intransigence on the issue of slavery as a threat to the Union. Today, Republicans, driven by the existential threat of losing their white country, will continue their attack on democracy as a means towards preserving America for real Americans. Democrats, on the other hand, see the MAGAification of the GOP as an existential threat to liberal democracy. Election-related violence generally takes place when the following four factors are present: a highly competitive election that can shift power, partisan division based on identity, winner-takes-all, two-party election systems in which political identities are polarized, and an unwillingness to punish violence on the part of the dominant group. All four are present in America now and will be more amplified in 2024. Americans are almost there. White angst over increasing racial diversity makes another Trump candidacy likely pushing them into autocracy. Democrats are having none of that. They will resist going down the slippery slope of autocracy the same way that their 19th century counterparts, the Party of Lincoln, refused to let the Confederacy bust up the Union. Likewise, should Democrats prevail in 2024, Republicans will revolt. The January 6th Capitol attack is a forewarning.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. And I really welcome some of our students from Sevier International School here in the studio, and I really welcome them all. Assalamu alaikum. How are you, brothers? Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasser, and Fawad. Everyone is fine?
Yes, sir.
Yes, alhamdulillah. That's great. So, guys, today, inshallah, Ayah 149 will be our main topic. Our brothers and sisters who are listening to us, please refer to Ayah 149. Get your Quran, turn to page 23, right? Yeah, page 23 of the Quran, Ayah 149 of Surah Al-Baqarah. So, everyone, let's listen to the recitation of this ayah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن حيث خرجت فولي وجهك شطر المسجد الحرام وإنه للحق من ربك وما الله بغافل عما تعملون.
Guys, I will be inshallah reciting this ayah. Make sure you listen and repeat with the tajweed rules, that inshallah after the recitation we'll go on to the explanation and also the tajweed rules. Ready? Brothers and sisters, please listen and repeat and practice with us. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
ومن حيث خرجت فول وجهك شطر المسجد الحرام.
ومن حيث خرجت فول وجهك شطر المسجد الحرام.
وإنه للحق من ربك.
وَإِنَّهُ لَلْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ
وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ.
وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ.
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Allah Almighty says in this verse of Surah Al-Baqarah, says that whensoever you may go out, turn your face towards the holy mosque, the Kaaba, Masjid Al-Haram. وَإِنَّهُ لَلْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. Indeed, it is the truth from your Lord. Okay? وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah is not oblivious or of what you do. He doesn't forget what you do, okay? He sees and he hears, and also he, of course, judges you, okay? Gives you reward, gives you punishment, whatever you do. He is not oblivious, okay? He is not someone who forgets things. So, guys, one important point I want to tell you about this ayah, but the detailed explanation, you have to refer to the tafsir books, okay? فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Masjid al-Haram is the qibla, or the prayer direction, for the Muslims. Alright? Yes?
Yes? Yes.
You believe in that?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Where is it? In?
Makkah.
In Makkah. Now, Makkah is, or Masjid al-Haram, is one of the best masjids. Okay? One of the best masjids. That, for example, a traveler can do his prayer either, for example, Qasr prayer or Kamil prayer. Doesn't matter, okay? Tamam prayer. Qasr or Tamam. Both of them can do. So, it is one of the four masjids. Now, Allah Almighty says, فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. We can understand from this that wherever you go, okay, you eat, sit face to face of Qibla, in the direction of Qibla, eat. Your eating has more rewards, okay? Like, if you eat for the sake of this, that I'm eating to get strength, to get power, to get energy, to pray Allah Almighty, to worship Allah Almighty, to do good things, okay? This is, of course, ibadah. This is worship. When you want to have a discussion of any lesson, okay, sit in the direction of prayer, do it. More thawab, more reward. Easy. And whenever, for example, I have a teacher, okay, he's so good. And he's so pious. He even, I've seen him many times, okay? And I've heard it from others as well. They all have seen him. Even when he is trying to make wudu, he's standing face to face of Qibla and he's making wudu. Because this is ibadah. Of course, you're doing a good thing, okay? Do it face to face of Qibla, ibadah. When you want to read Quran, you can sit in any direction. But it's better to sit in the direction of Qibla. Recite the Quran. Want to get more reward? Easy. It's not difficult. Alright? Fawad is now face to face of Qibla. Okay? And he is getting more reward. Also, he is now in the Quranic sessions. Okay? Quran class. Also, he's If our brothers and sisters, okay, they are listening to us, if they sit in the direction of Qibla, of course, they will get more reward. All right? Understood?
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
So, guys, make sure you do so. Okay? That was the message. Very good message. Inshallah, for the detailed explanation, go to the Tafasir books, inshallah, and learn more. قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
All right. Now, the very, very important part of our session today is, of course, the Tajweed rules. Let's practice the Tajweed rules in this ayah and also, inshallah, learn them well. Okay?
Okay.
Hassan, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Let's everyone recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajah.
So, the first thing in Tajweed, the important thing in Tajweed is, of course, the pronunciation of the letters. وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَإِنَّهُ لَلْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. So, وَمِنْ حَيْثُ, the pronunciation of ha, also the pronunciation of waw, make sure it's not va, va, va min حَيْثُ, no. We don't have va in Arabic, okay? In Persian, we have va, or in English, we have v. This is not va, v, okay? This is wa, the sound of w in Arabic, in English that we have. Wa, wa min hayth. All right? Sometimes they say wa min hayth, we don't have in Arabic. So, wa min hayth, ha, ha. All right? It's not the sound of h in English. Ha, he, who, how. No, that's a different one. Ha. They have like both have okay the same articulation point. They are throat letters, but it's a bit different.
With more pressure.
Yeah, more pressure, little. But don't give it more pressure, okay? That's normally, but just differently from that one.
Yeah.
Tight a little, your vocals.
Yeah.
Tight it, okay?
Yeah.
That's it. وَمِنْ حَيْثُ فَا. And also, be careful, do not change the pronunciation of the letter ha to kh. Sometimes I've seen, okay, people who are pronouncing this, alhamdulillah, they're about to say kha, alhamdulillah. This is also wrong. Okay? Correct pronunciation. Alhamdu, wa min haythu. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, not Muhammad, okay? Not this one. Now, guys, haythu. Tha also must be pronounced correctly. How do you pronounce tha, Hussein?
We'll put our tongue,
okay,
between your teeth.
Yes.
Yes.
Just bite it a little. Okay. وَمِنْ حَيْثُ. We have this in English as well. Like that. You do it, but that's not the exact pronunciation of tha, okay? But you, the way to do it, yes, is, of course. 3:35. Yes. Yes? Thick. Like this. Now, وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ جِيم and خَا رَا, heavy letters, and جِيم is ساكن
قَلْ
قَلَ, produce an echoing sound. خَرَجْ خَرَجْتَ, this is a weak قَلْ قَلَ. خَرَجْتَ, not خَرَجْتَ, not this one. خَرَجْتَ, when a ساكن letter from those five letters, if they occur in the middle of a word, okay, it's a weak قَلْ قَلَ, not a strong one. وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطَرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. شَطَر, this is also weak one. شَطَرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Guys, about the Hamzatul Wasl, they are very easy. You have to skip them. شَطَرَ ال, not شَطَرَ الْمَسْجِدِ, no. شَطَرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ, no. مَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. وَإِنَّهُ نُن مُشَدَّد, make sure you produce a nasal sound or غُنَّة. وَإِنَّهُ, who has a baby wow with it, إِشْبَاعُ, okay, this is called إِشْبَاعُ ضَمِيرِ هَا, okay, ishba of Damir Ha. It means this Ha, which is a pronoun in Arabic, okay, you have to produce a longer sound. A mad letter it is. Wa innahu, innahu, hu, not innahu. Hu, lalhaqqu min rabbik, but nun sakin hasan plus ra, huh?
Idgham.
Yarmalun, idgham. Min rabbik. Wa innahu lalhaqqu min rabbik. Aha. فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. You see on the top, it's salah. What does it say?
Better to continue.
Yeah, wasless better than waqf. But nextly, you have, in the next, sorry, next one. وَإِنَّهُ لَلْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. You have qala. Qala is just the opposite of salah. Salah tells you wasless better than waqf. Continuing is better than stopping. And qala says that waqf is better than wasl. It means stopping here is better than continuing.
Yes.
وَمَا أَلَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ وَمَا أَلِفْ مَدْ. But when you join with a word starting with Hamzatul Wasl, skip both of them. Mad and also Hamzatul Wasl. وَمَا اللَّهُ, not وَمَا أَلَّهُ or وَمَا اللَّهُ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ. Tanween plus عين. Throat letters, إظهار. No special rule. بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا. Nasal sound. عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Very simple and easy. Alhamdulillah. The Tajweed rules were mentioned here and important points were mentioned. Please practice them, inshallah. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters. If you had any questions, please don't hesitate to ask us, okay? Ask them, inshallah, through messages, emails, whatever. And stay with IRIB English Radio. Every day, inshallah, we are with you with one Quranic session. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. Brothers, no questions?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Okay. Thank you so much. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.